I say your name, and if you are here, please press star 6 to unmute and let me know that you're here. I'm just marking on the list so I know who's here on the call. Glenn Arabe, are you here? Okay, maybe not yet. Rick Earnshaw?
I'm here.
Was that Rick?
And to everybody, if you speak and you can't hear yourself, then you will need to press star 6 to unmute your phone.
Yeah, Rick is here.
Great. Thank you. Okay. I'm just going to go through the names that I have highlighted here, and then I'll open it up to see who else might be on here. But the names highlighted are ones who have RSVP'd for this meeting, so I'm going to start there. Amy Winder Newton, are you here? Okay, Stephen Shields, are you here? Norm Searle, are you here? Okay, Kevin Van Castle. Beth Holbrook. Okay, somebody just said they were here, but can you give me your name?
This call is now being recorded.
Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin.
Thank you. Okay, Beth Holbrook? Not yet. Okay, Ari Bruning. No? Okay. Ben, forgive me for not knowing how to pronounce your last name. It's Hout.
Ben Hewitt here.
Hewitt. Hi, Ben. Thank you. Jenny Reese. I'm here. Thank you. Evan Curtis.
And again, just as a reminder, if you are speaking but you can't hear yourself, then you will just need to press star 6 to unmute your phone.
And then after you weigh in, we're going to ask that you mute it again because we can't hear each other if we all have background noise. And we do have the capacity to mute. So if somebody has background noise and doesn't realize and doesn't mute it themselves, we'll just do that. Evan Curtis, are you here? Okay, Dr. Ray Viewing, are you on the call? Okay, we know we have Andrew and Ted. Welcome all of you that we've gone through. Okay, if I didn't say your name or if I said your name and you weren't on the call yet, this is going to be interesting, but I'm going to ask that you unmute and let us know. Tell us your name so I know who's here.
Mayor, could we just quickly go down the list of the other members that are not RSVP? That might be a way to
handle it. I'll just run down that list. And if you're there, go ahead and press star 6. If you're on the call and I haven't said your name, unmute yourself now so that when I do say your name, you can let us know that you're here, please. Thank you. Jeff Scott?
I'm here.
Great. Thank you. Ken Brager? Okay, Len? Len Arabe, are you here? John Fullman? Tina Cannon? Robert McConnell? Danny Wilson? Ron Bigelow?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Mayor. Thank you for being here. Amy Winder Newton? Troy Walker?
clear.
Okay.
No longer clear.
Stephen Shields? Kurt Bradford? Dan Pay? I don't know that Mayor Pay is on here, but I just think it should be noted that our hearts and hope and hugs and prayers go out to Mayor Pay and everyone in Magna and everyone affected by this. By the earthquake yesterday. They got their hands full, and we wish them the very, very best. Kendall Thomas. Ed Hansen. Mark Allen?
Yes, I'm here.
Great, thank you. Norm Searle? Jim Harvey? Natalie Gottner? Beth Holbrook? Here. Hi, Beth.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Carlton Christensen? Erin Mendenhall?
I'm here, Beth. I'm here, Dawn.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Ari Bruning?
I'm here.
Awesome. Welcome.
And, Mayor, I think we've gotten enough that perhaps it's more efficient to now just open it up for any additional people that we have not yet called.
Is there anyone else who's on the call?
This is Eloy Central, Layton City Mayor.
Okay. I heard. Yeah, that's gonna be hard. I think I heard Amy Winder Newton. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Hi, this is
Homer from Mountain Land Association of Governors.
Shall we go by county, starting in the north?
Ted, I'm just going to finish reading this list because it's too hard any other way. I can't not being able to see anybody. Please listen for your name. Andrea Olson. Laura Hansen. Levi Roberts. Brent Spurs. Ivan Marrero. Steve Call.
Here. I'm here.
Great. Thank you. Gary, I'm going to have your last name. Duret. Tina Blaine. Julie Fulmer.
Here.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And then, I apologize. I'm going to probably pronounce your name wrong. I don't know. Ivy. Quivera. Evan Curtis, Dave Skinner, Dr. Ray Boyd.
I'm here on JC's behalf. This is Caitlin Piper from the Salt Lake Chamber.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for letting us know.
One more quick reminder, if you hear yourself speaking but not coming through, you will need to unmute yourself and start there.
Okay, I've gone through all the lists. Some of the names I've gone through twice. You have not heard your name.
Joy Petro, Layton City.
Thank you.
Joy Shields, Perriman City.
Ryan back with Envision, Utah.
I think we heard Mayor Dan Doy.
That's correct. Bob Dan Doy, Roy City. Steve Shield, Harriman City.
Okay.
Joy Petro, Layton City.
Russ Fox, Draper City.
All right, I have Layton and Harriman, Russ Fox from Draper, and who was the other one? Sorry, one other person said you were here and I didn't get your name.
Steve Shields, Harriman City.
I got Steve Shields, I got Russ Fox, I got Joyce Pickle. Is that it?
Harvey in Weber County.
Ken Harvey. Okay. Thank you all. We appreciate you joining us. This makes it helpful, but not having video capacity is very helpful. Thank you.
Mayor Amy Winters in Suffolk County.
Yes, thank you, Amy. Thank you for joining us. I got you on here. Appreciate it. This is obviously a unique format and different than any of us are used to, but we appreciate you joining us and ask you to please bear with us as we work out these issues and as we try to determine who is on the call without being able to see you. Thank you for your patience. And what a marvelous time it is to have the technology to meet like this under such unique circumstances. Just a reminder, everyone joined the call with unmuted lines. To speak, you need to press *6 to unmute. But then we ask you to mute yourself again so that we can all hear each other without our own background noise. Very quickly, I just want to say thank you to all of you. The enormous amount of work that has taken place at the local level is staggering. And it is sort of unheralded. There's so much work taking place that's very, very visible at the state level and at the federal level. But all of you who are serving in one way or another, specifically, really, especially a lot of you serving in local city and county government, but everyone on this call, the great work taking place as a result of this virus and now yesterday's earthquake, this is really a unique time, and it's an opportunity for us to come together as a ton and to help one-on-one. We all have the ability to do something, and some can do more. That every bit matters, and I know that the people on this call are working very hard. So thank you. Just let me say thank you. With that, as we move on, our first item, if you have the agenda in front of you, is to review the minutes from the Regional Growth Committee meeting held January 16, 2020. If everyone has had an opportunity to review those minutes, then I'm going to, since I can't see you to make a motion, I'm actually going to ask someone specific to make a motion and someone specific to second, and then we'll take a vote. So I'm going to ask Mayor Dandley, would you make a motion on these minutes?
I'd make a motion that we approve the minutes for the Regional Growth Committee meeting held January 16th, 2020.
Thank you so much. Councilwoman Amy Winder Newton, would you please support that motion if you are supportive of the minutes and kind of approve that motion? Thank you. I'm going to open it up. Does anybody have any corrections or concerns with the minutes? Okay, hearing none, please unmute, and all in favor of approving the minutes from the January 16, 2020 Regional Growth Committee, please say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. Appreciate that. Those minutes are approved. Next is our public comment portion of the meeting, and I believe in the notice of this meeting that this information was given out, so if there were members of the public who wanted to weigh in, they have the opportunity to do so. Is there anyone from the public on the line that would like to comment? Okay, hearing none, we will close the public comment portion of the meeting and move on to item 3, modifications to the Regional Transportation Plan Amendment Process. We're going to turn some time over to Jory, who's going to introduce our proposed changes, and then we will consider a motion at the conclusion of this item. So, Jory, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mayor. Thank you. Yes. Can you hear me fine?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. I'd like to let everybody know that there are a handful of WFRG staff on the line as well, so we just decided not to announce ourselves during that roll call. Thank you, and I hope that you and your families are doing well and staying safe. Today, I'd like to propose modifications to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process and ask for your recommendation from the Regional Growth Committee requesting that the Regional Council approve these modifications. As you know, we currently have an adopted Regional Transportation Plan. Periodically, changes are needed, and we have an existing process that was adopted in 2016. As you recall, we discussed the existing process and initial proposed modifications at the January Regional Growth Committee meeting, and I've also discussed it with the Technical Advisory Committee to the Regional Growth Committee, UDOT, UTA, and Federal Highways since that January meeting. We have incorporated the comments into this proposed draft. You have in your packets the detailed draft process, timeline, amendment categories, and technical considerations. I'm not planning to walk through all of these in detail, but we'll provide a brief summary. So for level one category, we're not looking to make changes to the most important regionally significant projects, which would require air quality conformity and a 30-day public comment period. The level three projects will remain the same and go through the similar process as the 2016. Fundamental changes to the level two amendment include allowing the Regional Growth Committee to approve amendments at the Regional Growth Committee meeting, allow for public comment at the same meeting, and adjusting some of the lesser significant projects to fall within this category. Changes to level two amendments would streamline the process with less burden on local communities and transportation partners. Level one changes include adding smaller type projects, normally under $10 million for roads and $5 million for transit, corridor preservation, and individual active transportation projects. Modifications increase the rigor by requiring consultation with the chair and vice chair of the Regional Growth Committee with final approval by the WFRC Executive Director. Both Level 1 and Level 2 amendments streamline the process by about one-half to two-thirds of the time while maintaining the rigor of the planning process, and both enhance the role of the Regional Growth Committee reviewing these. Today, we're looking for a recommendation from the Regional Growth Committee to the Regional Council. Andrew or Ted, would you like to add anything?
I don't have anything to add.
This is Andrew. I will just add very briefly to echo what Jory has said, that the Regional Transportation Plan, which contains, as you all know, the priority transportation projects in state roads, local roads, and transit for the next 30 years after 2050, is a living document, a living plan, in that it periodically needs to be modified. That's something that we do as an agency as circumstances change. And we have, under the guidance of the Regional Growth Committee, this official process for making amendments. And as we discussed at the last RGC meeting, and then today again with Jory's suggestion, we're recommending these modest modifications to streamline that process somewhat, to make it a little less burdensome on the municipalities or UDOT or UTA submitting requests for modifications to the plan, meaning moving projects up or back in phase or changing the alignment or funding for projects. But making sure that the level of technical review is still sound and ensuring that there continues to be very good input from the public, or opportunity for input from the public, as well as review by the Regional Growth Committee. And we just wanted to take this to you, and we're recommending that you approve these changes or recommend to the full Regional Council making these changes. But of course, we'd be happy to answer any questions about the proposed modifications.
And actually, I'll just quickly chime in and reiterate a point I believe Jory did make already, which is that we have taken into account comments we received from the Regional Growth Committee from the last meeting. We have also discussed the potential changes with our transportation partners.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to open this up now. Is there anybody that has any questions about the modification to the Regional Transportation Plan amendment process?
I'm
giving everyone a little bit of extra time because it takes a minute to unmute. Go ahead.
And a reminder, the way to unmute is star 6.
Okay, it doesn't sound like we have any questions. Thank you, Jory, and all of you, Andrew and Ted, as well, for your input on this and for the opportunity to try to make this something that can be more streamlined and less burdensome to accomplish. That'll take us time and to still go through the full process, which it absolutely requires. So thank you for that. And with that, hearing no additional concern, I'm going to ask Beth Holbrook if she will make a motion on this.
I'd be happy to make a motion that we allow modifications to the regional transportation plan amendment process.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm just looking through my list to see who's here. Mark Allen, are you interested in seconding that?
I will second.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We have a motion and a second. There was no concern. I'll open it up right now if there's any other discussion. Otherwise, please press star 6. And all in favor of approving the modifications to the regional transportation plan. Okay, I don't think I heard any no's. I think I heard all ayes, so that passes. Thank you. Moving on to number 4, we have some updates, some brief updates. Potential resources for implementation of WASAP's Choice Regional Vision and SB 34, which, as you all know, is the housing and transportation bill that passed. Ted, you're going to introduce this conversation for us. Take it away.
Thank you, Mayor. As you all may recall, last year we met with groups of communities, a small group at a time, Wasatch Choice workshops, and we posed the question, what are the obstacles that are in your way that make it challenging to implement your Wasatch Choice vision? And it certainly relates to the challenges of addressing statutory requirements of Senate Bill 34, which relates to meeting housing needs. And there were two clear challenges that resonated throughout the region. One was funding, which we are used to hearing that. It would be nice for us to have more money. But the second was meeting concerns, sometimes put as NIMBY issues and considerations in communities. How do we have conversations in communities that balance the local needs as well as regional considerations and those kinds of issues? Building on that, the regional council in their January meeting explored this very concept. What came through the conversation at the council meeting was that we really need more tools and resources to help us engage residents. Building off of those two threads, those vision workshops and the council meeting, staff have been also reaching out and exploring things with Wasatch Choice partners. These partners include many that are on the phone, Selig Chamber, the League of Cities and Towns, Envision Utah, and many others. And we are putting together some thoughts and ideas that we will bring to you in May to get more detailed feedback, hopefully in a more normalized environment than this. And to introduce some of the ways the kinds of resources that we're exploring, again, to help address community concerns and other implementation challenges, I'm going to turn this time over to Scott S., who is our Director of Community and Economic Development. Scott?
Thank you, Ted, and thank you, Mayor, for allowing us to do this call and provide a little bit of information about what we're doing. So if you'd like to follow along, the ARCS team members can refer to their email packet for item 4A, potential resources for implementation of Wasatch Choice and SB 34. And we've worked with ULCC so far to develop these initial resource categories, But development of the resources will be done with our partners, and we expect partners to assist with us in implementation of those resources too, with a focus on assisting communities with general plans and dealing with changes in their communities. So as we go through this quickly, I'll ask you to think of two questions. One, are these the right ways to organize this work? And two, do you have any comments on these categories? And you can provide those directly by email, or we can chat about it on the phone today. So the first resource category would be public engagement. These would be potentially enhanced online tools for your residents to provide feedback, or could consist of communication strategies that would help local officials navigate the best next steps to take after a large project has been proposed. The second resource category we're considering is just communications generally. We want to help local officials talk about growth challenges with their residents. So these resources are intended to be shared directly with residents and would highlight quality of life issues and information about growth trade-offs. These could potentially be in short video format or maybe clear, short communication materials given to local elected officials to help you speak directly with your residents. The third category is information and analysis, and this one is a little bit broader, but for concerned residents and decision makers, the potential downsides of density are more visible. These may include congestion or someone's view becomes blocked or major land use changes in a high growth area. However, the potential upsides might mean that infrastructure is used more efficiently, it reduces community fiscal burden, or the broader region's housing affordability challenges are better met. So in order to better communicate the potential benefits of centered development, we need to be able to quantify them city by city. So this category would look at developing data resources to assist communities in their decision making. And just the final note I want to make is that we want to enhance our trainings that we provide and provide with our partners. And so right now, the Transportation Land Use Connection Program has been successful in assisting communities in their local planning, and we want to bolster that successful program with additional training geared towards city council and planning commissioners who are directly dealing with these challenging issues. And we're working with the League of Cities and Towns right now on putting together a training calendar that you'll hear more about. Andrew and Ted, do you have anything to add?
Yes, thanks, Scott. I just want to reiterate these categories of resources that we are exploring developing. Again, we will bring these ideas to Regional Growth Committee in May. The four categories are resources to address public engagement, one. Two, resources to aid in communication with communities, two. Three, resources that provide better information on the trade-offs associated with different growth decisions. And four, technical assistance efforts, notably the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. So those are the four categories. Again, we wanted to outline those and say, we hear you, and we're working on some things, and we'll bring some things detailed within each of those categories back to you in May. So that's all I have to add.
Hey, Ted and Scott and Mayor and everybody, this is Andrew. Let me just offer a brief comment here, and that is, as I'm listening to this conversation from my living room, and most of you are probably in your homes also, or some of you are in your emergency operations centers, and you know, or maybe in your city halls or wherever you are. I recognize that this conversation feels a little incongruous, right? I mean, we're talking about community concern about growth issues, and like that seems so pre-coronavirus. But what we're going to try to do as an agency is continue to make progress on the issues that we know will come back, that we will have to continue to deal with as a region and as a community, even while we understand that the focus is very appropriately on the issues of the day. So I guess I just want to say thank you to everybody, to
working with us and continuing to make progress on these issues so that when the time comes, we can emerge even more strongly as a region. That's sort of the context I'd put on this conversation about the Wasatch Choice vision and the resources that Ted and Scott are talking about, and then the very brief additional reports that our staff are going to give you in the remaining few minutes of this meeting. Just thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Ted and Scott, as well. I agree that this does seem a little pre-coronavirus conversation, but it is a critical conversation, and resources for public engagement and communication and information, educational information, technical assistance will be helpful. I look forward to having that presentation in May, and with any luck, we'll be able to meet in person in May. Let's hope. Everybody cross your fingers. Thank you for your efforts on this. Moving on to B, Transportation and Land Use Connection 2020 recipient. We have Megan with us, and Megan's going to introduce the newly funded programs that are part of the TLC program and give us a status report on where the TLC program's at. Megan?
Thank you, Mayor. Hi, everybody. Megan Townsend here, Transportation and Land Use Connection Program Manager. I'm going to refer to this program as TLC. I want to take a few minutes today just to update you with some more upbeat breaking news, and that is our brand new batch of TLC awarded projects. We're coming to your communities with some support here this year. The Transportation and Land Use Connection is a partnership with UDOT, UTA, and Salt Lake County. The program provides technical assistance to communities through projects and training to help you achieve your local goals and implement the Wasatch Choice regional vision locally. This year, the program received a group of excellent applications, 23 applications overall requesting. Closely with our program partners, we were able to make 17 awards. That's 9 in Salt Lake County, 6 in Davis and Weber County, and 2 from Tooele County. 5 of those 17 projects involve multiple communities, so we're really happy to see communities in the region coming together again and again each year with this program. 2 of our regional projects that were awarded are the broader regional efforts are the 7 Greenways Vision. This is a partnership between the county, 6 cities, and a local nonprofit. We also awarded the West Davis Corridor Market Analysis. That'll be a partnership between 4 cities and Davis County. We awarded 7 general plans. I won't read through all of the communities that received funding for our general plans, but we're really eager to have the opportunity to support those communities in implementing SB 34 in their communities and in an impactful way. 1 general plan that was funded, Cottonwood Heights, actually will be updating some area ordinances with form-based code while doing their general plan. So that's an exciting opportunity to both vision and implement at the same time. Sunset City will also be writing a citywide form-based code. We have 4 cities that will be working on active transportation plans. Those are Harriman, Taylorsville, and then Kearns and Magna will be working together. And last, we have a variety of small area plans that were awarded. These include Draper Town Center Station, the Grantsville Main Street Plan, Salt Lake City Ballpark Station Area Plan, and Mill Creek and South Salt Lake 3300 South Corridor Study. And those projects will be done in really close coordination with UDOT and UTA as they are surrounding those important transportation infrastructure. I want to note that our staff will be working closely with yours every step of the way, and that these are your projects. We're just here to help, and we really look forward to doing so whenever you're ready to begin. Given the delays that may come our way, we are here to weather that storm with you. You can learn more about all these projects at wfrc.org/TLC/awardedprojects. You can always reach me at my extension 1101, and I'm on the website. I'm inclined to ask if there are any questions, but Chair and Ted and Andrew, let me know if that will be dysfunctional.
I think at this point, Megan, that was awesome. Thank you, as always. You did such an outstanding job with us. We appreciate it. At this point,
questions are... A quick interjection. I apologize. We sometimes take for granted that the Regional Growth Committee is super familiar with DLC, and that's because it was really born from requests from the Regional Growth Committee to start the technical assistance program. And I just want to remind you all that that is a joint effort of Shelley County, UDOT, UTA, and Wasatch Regional Council. So it's a terrific program that really represents this great partnership between organizations. That's everything. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Ted. I'm not going to open this up to specific questions right now because this format is so unique it makes it challenging. So if you have questions, Megan is available. She gave her contact information, and she's very easy to find. Megan is not hard to find, and her information is on the website. She can get more information. You can look on the website, and if there's more questions, we can discuss those when we meet in person. It's just too difficult of a way to run this meeting to try to open it up to very many questions without having it turn chaotic. So thank you. I'm not going to have additional questions right now. We're going to move on. Look at the website or contact Megan. Item C, legislative debrief. Lanise is here, and she's going to share some of the key issues relevant to this Wasatch Front that just took place with our 2020 legislative session. Lanise, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Madam Chair. All right, I'm going to highlight two bills that WFRC tracked during the 2020 legislative session. We tracked about 50 bills, but we'll focus on two today. Senate Bill 150, sponsored by Senator Wayne Harper, and Senate Bill 39, sponsored by Senator Jake Andrews. So the first bill, second substitute, SB 150, passed both houses with unanimous support. SB 150 was a focus for WFRC, and it was supported by many organizations, including the League, the Salt Lake Chamber, UAC, and Hill, Utah. I'm just going to highlight four key provisions. One, it eliminates the cap on UTA, transit-oriented development, or TOD sites, now allowing an opportunity for more municipalities to partner with UTA in future TOD development sites. Woohoo! Two, it ties the moderate-income housing element of general plans and new station area planning requirements to TOD sites. Three, it allows Utah's State Transportation Commission to give priority consideration to projects that are part of a TOD and projects that are part of a TRZ or Transportation Reinvestment Zone. And finally, in just over a year, no later than June 1st of 2021, UDOT needs to identify how to expand the road usage charge, or the RUC program, to enroll all of Utah's registered vehicles by the end of 2031. Moving on to the housing bill, Senate Bill 39. The fourth substitute of Senate Bill 39 narrowly passed both houses. Many organizations did support SB 39, including WFRC, in addition to the League, UAC, Salt Lake Chamber, Utah Housing Coalition, and many, many more. SB 39 focuses on funding for the development and preservation of affordable housing units by appropriating $10 million in one-time funding to the Olene Walker Housing Loan Fund through the Department of Workforce Services. Of that $10 million, up to $5 million would go to private activity bond gap financing, and up to $5 million to match private investment to preserve existing low-income housing units. So speaking of the private investment to preserve existing low-income housing units, a brand new program was announced earlier this month, led by the private sector, that targets housing preservation created by the Ivory Foundation, IHC, Zions Bank, and the Utah Nonprofit Housing Corporation. These companies have committed an initial $20 million. They hope to grow this fund to $100 million plus by the end of the year, with the goal to preserve Utah's most affordable housing units for critical members of Utah's workforce. So both SB 150 and 39 are awaiting the signature of the governor. Of note, there was no new bonding authorized this year. All of the bills WFRC tracked and summarized are in our bill tracker, including these two, which have a one-page bill summary in that tracker. Please check out our bill tracker on the governmental affairs page of our website. And please, as always, take a look and let me know if you have any questions or if you would like to discuss any of the bills in more detail. Happy to do that. To everybody on this call, thank you all for your participation during the session and for your leadership. And please stay healthy. Thank you, Madam Chair. That completes my presentation today.
Thank you, Lanise. I hope that you've had the opportunity to at least I don't know, sit still for 2 seconds or take a nap or something since the session ended. You guys have worked tirelessly and just really done a great job. Thank you in behalf of all of us for all of your efforts for the legislative session. Okay, moving on to number five. Our next regional growth committee meeting is scheduled for May 21st, and we are super hopeful that we'll be able to meet in person at that point. If not, the format will probably be very similar to this. So we'll just be watching for more information by email as we wait and see how things roll out. Feel free to reach out to any member of the WFRC staff if you have questions. And all the information's on the website, and there everyone's easy to get a hold of. So if you have any additional questions, please contact a member of the staff. Thank you for joining us again in this unique way and for helping us get this information so that we can keep the work of the state and each of our communities and each of our organizations going forward. I think as we face such an uncertain economic future, being able to continue work as much as possible is going to help. And I know that's the direction that we've been asked to take by the state. Keep doing everything you can keep doing. And that's what we're doing right now. So thank you for your patience and your cooperation. With that, I am going to ask if Mayor Bibelow is still on the line, if he would give us a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 You guys are awesome. Thank you for all your efforts. Stay safe, healthy, and please stay safe.